Hello and welcome to Global Focus. I'm Claire Broadhurst. Palm oil has quite a bad reputation. For decades, it's been associated with environmental damage and human rights abuse, mainly due to the way large-scale companies operate. In Indonesia, for example, deforestation has increased carbon emissions and destroyed the habitat of rare breeds of animals, such as orangutans. And the aggressive expansion of the industry has also broken up communities. Africa faces similar problems. The global palm oil market is expected to be worth about 82 billion euro by 2022. And today, rival investors are flocking to West Africa to secure land for their plantations. Environmentalists are warning governments in these countries not to make the same mistakes as were made in Southeast Asia. One thing experts seem to agree on, the fact that the business model needs to change if palm oil production in Africa is to be sustainable. Matthias Rein is a finance policy advisor at 73, a firm specialized in the energy, marine, land and industrial sectors. He says the palm oil industry does not boost a country's economy, quite the contrary.
It does boost profit for the owner of a transnational palm oil company. It does boost export earnings. Both of that is true, or can be true. But there is really no example in history or anywhere in the world where palm oil development has boosted local economies. You can see it in Indonesia, which has the biggest palm oil estate and is the biggest producer of palm oil in the world. Yet the contribution to gross domestic product is well below 2%. It's an enclave economy, that's how we call that. So it is then usually winds up to be a trap, a low-wage, low-productivity trap.
Tom Lomax agrees. He's a lawyer and human rights coordinator at an NGO called the Forest People's Programme. He says that countries in Africa welcome large-scale palm oil companies as a way to boost their economies. He says this is because they are desperate for economic development.
When they hear those promises, that is a hugely persuasive argument for them. But when analysis has been done of the leading palm oil producers like Indonesia, palm oil production came at the expense of food production because it was literally taking up the space that could otherwise be used for rice or whatever. And as a result, Indonesia has gone from being a net food exporter to a net food importer, with those imports greater in value even than the cumulative economic value of their rubber and palm oil exports, which is fairly astonishing. Economic analysis also has found that the palm oil industry has failed to increase the number of rural jobs since 1990 levels. So what we find is that the economic record of that palm oil business model has been dismal. So actually, when African countries are being encouraged to take up palm oil to get them out of development, then actually we don't see that the model from Indonesia is actually a good one that will perform for them if it isn't performing for Indonesia. So those lessons from Southeast Asia need to be learned.
Matthias Rein says that the model has to change for production to be sustainable.
It can be done in a sustainable way, but not with this business model of large bimodal land distribution and large-scale industrial crop production. It has to be embedded in a sound macroeconomic policy. And as long as the fundamentals of the macroeconomic policy are flawed, you cannot then, at a subordinate level, implement something that works. What you would need to do is get your macroeconomic model of development right, and then, if this framework conditions are correct, then you can insert sustainable agriculture, sustainable forest, sustainable palm oil production, and you can find the right modes of production. So it's not the thing itself, it is how it is done. It's the mode of production, and the mode of production can only be done and implemented in a successful way if the macroeconomic approach, to development is flawed, then everything that comes below it will also be flawed or challenged, no matter how good the intention.
And indeed, when it's working, palm oil production can help the local community. Christopher Stewart is head of corporate responsibility and sustainability at Olam International, a major agribusiness company.
When I first visited the locations where we now have our plantations back in the year 2011, many of the communities there were evidence of malnutrition in young children. People were living in very poorly constructed housing. The level of services was very, very poor, so no running water, no lighting, very poor access to medicine and education. And the arrival of Olam as a major investor in that region has meant that, you know, the level of services around the plantations is now very, very much better, and everybody has an opportunity to have a job, which has been, you know, fantastic for local people who can send their kids to school, who can buy medicines, and, you know, buy themselves the essential of what makes living a little bit more comfortable in these remote areas.
If the industry is to be sustainable, experts say it has to adopt something called free, prior and informed consent, FPIC. As Tom Lomax explains, free means without coercion, without pressure. Prior means getting consent before the project starts. And informed means the ability for a community to have all the information in advance so they can say yes or no to a potential palm oil project. But Lomax says it's not always applied.
Under the concession model, which, as I say, is the current dominant model that we think is actually at the cause of many of the industry's sustainability problems, is that the company will come along, they will talk to the state, the government, and they will say, hey, we would like a concession in your country, and they agree a concession contract, which is essentially a lease, and the company pays a rent for every hectare to the government for that lease. The strange thing is, it seems strange to the community certainly, is that that happens without them even knowing about it. So in the capital city somewhere, with lawyers present for the government and for the company, a contract will be signed. And, you know, as I say, up to 2,000 square kilometres of land will suddenly be subject to a lease between the government and the company. The communities are neither consulted, nor are they asked for their consent. And yet, in truth, the land, certainly under international human rights laws, but also often under domestic law, belongs to the community. So it's a bit like me renting my neighbour's garden to my other neighbour without asking my first neighbour, which, as you can imagine, is a recipe for conflict, which is what we're seeing in the palm oil industry. Almost in every country that it operates, in fact, I would say in every country it operates, is high levels of conflict, social conflict, and of course an environmental conflict as well.
Lomax says this concept of informed consent has to be taken seriously.
It existed in international law, but it wasn't necessarily universally known about in industry, for example. But now I would say it is. It's a very strongly, there's huge awareness of that as a right, as an issue that needs to be implemented. But ultimately, as I say, I think the voluntary standard, the corporate social responsibility approach, will only take us so far. And then if we really want to ensure a sustainable industry, what we need is legally binding rules, laws that can be enforced in courts to force companies to change their practices. Because we can't rely on paper promises. We need to be able to enforce those. And the only way to do that is in a judicial system with appropriate laws to protect communities and the environment.
Not only is it necessary from large-scale companies, but governments need to follow it as well. Abraham Bafoe is Africa Regional Director at an NGO called ProForest, which advises governments and companies how to operate and respect the environment at the same time.
From our point of view, this is very possible, but it requires the effort of all the stakeholders. It requires the effort of the private sector companies to be genuinely committed to sustainable development, to be genuinely committed to avoiding deforestation, and to be genuinely committed to social justice. It also requires commitment from our governments, because oftentimes what we have seen is that companies show you a concession, and in fact, the concession boundary is right at the last house of the community. You can't develop the entire land for all palm, and this has been approved by government. So I think our governments also need to sit up and do things right. The private sector recognizes that, and then the government also recognizes that. They need to do it in a way that respects the local population's right to their land and the right to use their land for whatever purpose they want. Then I think we'll be able to also support the process to make it work. But without these two committing themselves in doing business in the right way and in a responsible way, it will be very challenging. But as I said, the possibility and the potential is there for Africa to produce sustainable palm oil.
Bafoe says that encouraging a smallholder model rather than large-scale ones would better work in Africa.
It's important for us to do that, but we have to do that responsibly. And for us, I think, looking into smallholder models that work very well with the farming systems and with the local communities is the right way to go. Of course, in some cases, private companies will argue that you need a critical mass or a certain quantity of FFB to be able to make your meal viable, right? So they don't want to depend on small areas, which will not be enough. But that should be part of their model. That should be part of their business plan. So that if you go to an area that communities are receptive to smallholders, then that is what you have to do. because we also know, and we have experience, even in Ghana here, there are a couple of companies who are into smallholder businesses with communities, and that is, in fact, helping to reduce rural poverty. It's giving them monthly income the same way as a worker. Every month I get money into my account for my company, right, for working. And so if they can get something, it wouldn't be that much, but if they can get it every month, that guarantees them income every month. And then they can also do their food crop farming. That helps them to diversify their income and everything. And that is the kind of thing we are looking for. So smallholder model for Africa is crucial and it's very, very important. And it should be part of the digital as we move forward in oil palm development.
There's still a long way to go in making sure the industry operates sustainably. But as we've heard, it is possible to ensure the mistakes of the past are not repeated in African markets.